accession number 23786 Reel 2.
Mr. Bonhill, Reel 2. Now, what were you doing before? I mean, your main work started in June, but what were you doing, you know, for a couple of months beforehand?
We did two or three little escort duties, but we only went so far, the Atlantic, and we turned around to come back. Well, I found out later on they were keeping the ship back for, certain ships back for the D-Day landings. We didn't know that then, but that's what it was, you see. Otherwise we would have gone escorted all the way, but we just went so far.
Was this while you were at Belfast or while you were at Harwich?
No, Harwich. We just joined the ship in Belfast, and once again we got the crew all settled, we went to Harwich.
So, did anything happen on those escorts?
What, on the... No, there's nothing. Not with us, it didn't. It was just the D-Day landers when we started.
What happened next? Did you move from Harwich when the D-Day landings got near?
Well, where we went to Portsmouth Harbour. Now, when we got there, it was chock-a-block with landing barges of all types, tank landing craft, and packed with troops. And in fact, you could have walked across Portsmouth Harbour without getting your feet wet. All of the many barges chugging for positions all the way, you know, ready for going across. And it was bad weather as well, like.
Did you actually go there in June or in May?
June the 5th we left Portsmouth.
When did you reach Portsmouth?
Well, that would be just... Oh, wait a minute now. That would be about June the 4th or something
so
like that.
Just before.
We just went there to We picked up six MTBs when we went across the channel. And that... Because the MTBs didn't have radar, we used to direct them on the radar to the E-boats, you know.
So, you were a control boat, weren't you?
That's right, aye.
Could you talk a bit about that? Because Coastal Forces Control Frigate, you were called.
Aye.
And you had, as you say, you had six MTBs. Could you just explain what
happened? This is something that's... what happened was, if I was on the radar set, right... Now, our pits, night patrols, that's all we did, darkness, because the E-boats never come out in daylight, it was always darkness. Now, I would pick one up on the set or a thing, we report up the bridge, action stations would go clanging, you know. Well, the senior radar operator took over then, and I went on all I can supply for action stations. That's where you hand the ammunition up through the hatch for the gunners, you know. And the senior radar operator he got a DSM, he was very good at his job, like. And he, George Law, they called him. He got the DSM.
So as soon as you actually sighted something, you'd be off to your action station?
Aye, yeah. My action stations wasn't radar, you see. It was all it can supply. Senior radar operator took over the set.
And tell me a bit about your work on all it can supply.
Well, all it was was a caboose behind what they call B-gun. Now, inside... The bulkheads were lined with these, I don't know whether you've seen the drums of ammunition to clip onto these orlicans, you know. They were lined with those. You had a bench in there. You put the drum on the bench, and there was a proper tool for putting the tension on. Forget what the tension is now. But you got to a certain tension, and if they shouted for, you passed it up through the hatch above you, you know, which were a ton weight. Like, I could hardly lift them. that was the action stations.
So what happened when you went out on D-Day, during the D-Day landing? What do you remember?
Well, we just escorted all the barges across, you know, and then when darkness...
What could you see as you went out, you know, with all those barges?
Oh, it was a sight you would never forget, really. Hundreds and hundreds of them, all sizes. Aircraft going over, hundreds of them. Torn gliders and, you know, everything. A hell of a sight. But as I say, our job was night patrols. As soon as it was dark, we went right along the coast, Belgium, France. And
so you were acting as part of the screening force on the eastern flank?
Yeah.
Now, what do you remember of what happened?
What do you mean? Like, it's just...
Anything that happened?
Well, the thing is, with us, when I said the radar used to direct the MTBs, actually we only come into contact with one MTB, and it was sunk at night, we picked the crew up.
E-boat, you mean?
Aye, E-boat, rather. And it was a blaze from stem to stern.
What do you remember of that? What happened then? How did you come into contact with the E-boat?
Well, you miss a lot when you're inside, you see. You don't see everything that's going on. I mean, you can hear guns blazing away, but you don't know what the hell they're firing at.
And that was on D-Day itself, was it?
Yeah, on the first night, see.
But you don't know really what happened?
No, I didn't actually witness it, you see, because there's people on the ship never see nothing, you know. Never see anything.
Now, what was it like when you were on the radar, you know, in the cabin? How did it feel doing that job?
No, it was all right. I was going to say before, I was fished, I picked the Necco up. It was a calm night to be on.
Now, when was this? This was just... It
was a way I couldn't see. It would be a few nights, after D-Day. But anyway, the action stations went and everybody dashed into the thing. Because when it come to recognising what it was a load of fish boxes. And my name stunk after that. Like. But it could have been anything, you know.
Any other instance you remember from being on the radar? There was quite a big battle that Duff was in.
Well, I wasn't on the radar. As I say, that when any action stations, the senior radar operator took over.
There's no point asking about any of the fighting because you'd be, you know, ending up the...
You were in a little kibosh all the time, you say.
So you didn't see anything.
But, of course, when the ship got mined, I mean, that was a different kettle of fish altogether.
Now, what was the routine? What was a typical trip out then? You know, once the invasion had sort of... Settled. You were going backwards and forwards almost every night, weren't you?
We escorted a couple of hospital ships back, apart from taking the barges across, you know. And then we started ordinary patrols, all night patrols, you know.
Now, what was a typical night patrol like? What time, you know, from start to finish? If you could just give us for you what it was like.
Well, it's just, as I say, you had action stations every night.
Time would you leave port, you
mean.
At first,
we left on the 5th of June instead of the 6th, the night before.
No, I mean on a typical night patrol.
Aye.
What time would you leave port?
I think it would be around about 5-ish. Round about after tea, 5-ish, or something like that, aye. Round about then. Because always you did practice in, dummy action stations and all this, keeping you on your go all the time, right?
On your way across, aye.
Oh, aye, because it was a new crew, you see. I mean, the ship had just been built in 1942 or something. Well, it's got pictures in there of them building them, isn't it?
And so you'd be on you'd be going out exercising. Then what would happen then as you got nearer the sort of danger?
Well, that's when you started getting you pick your e-boats up every night. That was a regular occurrence. You picked them up every night. But as I say, once they picked up, and action stations went, the senior radar operator took over, and I went to all that can supply. And you missed what was going on outside. You know, you can hear the guns rattling, but you didn't see what was happening. You know.
So how long would you stay out?
Eh?
How long would the ship stay out?
Daylight. Probably when at that time we about 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning. Then we'd come. At first we used to come back all the way to Harwich, but when the troops got inland, the fighting off the beaches.
Harwich, do you have any ports with?
No. We only used to go back to Harwich. Harwich was our base then. We only went to Portsmouth when the actual movement of all the invasion fleets was going, you know. But,
So that's what you do in a night. Did you do this every night?
Every night, apart from when you had to come in for a boiler clean or something like that.
Wasn't that tiring? Because it seems like you... When would you sleep? During the day or...?
You used to call it hands to making men clothing, you know, the piping. But you just all went to your bunks and kept. That's... Got a good kip. Oh, aye, it's up all night, nearly every night.
Was it tiring, or did you just get used to it?
It didn't make any difference. Well, you were young, you know, and all. But you got your sleep. I mean, you got to go sleeping during the day. I mean, you just, as I say, that was a regular pipe, hands to making men, and then you just made for your bunk.
And anything else you remember? Any incidents you remember before the ship was torpedoed?
Mind, it was mind.
Mind, sorry.
Yes. I was going to say, we picked the crew up of an MTB that was smashed up, you know. And I've seen a couple of MTBs sinking, you know, just a stern end sticking up.
Do you mean MTB or the German?
No, MTBs.
Your own ships?
Aye, that's a motor.
What state were they in when you got them aboard, the crew?
Pretty wet. Oh, they were okay. They were, just put them all down aft, you know, and give them all dry clothes and your proper, there's all these survivors' kits and give them the jerseys and pants and slippers and everything that were all their dry clothes.
Were you nervous? You know, I mean, because I suppose you could have been torpedoed or mined at any time.
I was very lucky because I was down the forehead mess deck when the mine exploded.
No, I know, but were you nervous before that? I mean,
no,
did it get
you nervous? Didn't feel it. You didn't feel it. Well, I didn't. I don't think anybody did.
So you didn't used to worry about going out on a night mission?
No, that never crossed your mind. Just didn't. Never crossed your mind.
So what happened when you were mined? What do you remember of that? What was the date you were mined?
Ah, I know them. November the 30th.
What happened?
1944.
What exactly happened?
Well, it was just... I'll tell you what happened. I was on the radar, right? I was on the radar set. Now, the radar mechanic, it was 5 to 8 in the morning, came along and he says, "Where's your relief?" I says, "Well, he should be here by now because he used to come up a bit sooner, you see." So he says, "Well, you better go down and get him, you know, because he's probably slept in." Well, I went down and went down into the mess deck, forward mess deck. Now, the forward mess deck was right below the bridge there. And the mine struck under the forward boiler room, which is the adjacent compartment to the mess deck. And I just got down into the mess deck when, bang, such a hell of an explosion. And you couldn't see that in front of you. You just didn't know where you were, you know.
The lights went up.
Every light, all the police lights, the red lights, and the thing, they all went up. All the electrics. Because you could feel the ship not right, you know. It's a little bit list on it. Then the bows went down. And you could hear the bubbling of water from the boiler where the actual mine exploded. And of course, you thought, the bubbling, you know, the bloody ship's going down, you know. But it wasn't like, and I managed to get up top. And well, when you go into the rough weather passage up the ladder, you couldn't breathe. The fumes are so thick.
What type of fumes?
The diesel oil, you know, from the boiler room. Well, the hatch was just next to the hatch of the mess deck, you know. Both adjacent to each other, and the fumes were so thick you couldn't breathe. They were trying to get the door open onto the upper deck to get out into the fresh air. Like, well, the metal had been twisted on the watertight doors, and they couldn't budge it. You know, and all we heard them banging and crashing. They got it open at the finish, and the fresh air was great then, like, right? But that was it, really. Of course, this had to send for two tugs. Eventually, the tow were back in, and we got back about four knots, I think, back to Harwich.
Did you ever think it might, sink?
I thought it was sinking at first, because you could hear all the bubbling, you know, from the three lads that was down in the boiler room, they were killed outright, of course, but I wouldn't like to have been the people to get them out, like, you know.
And the trip back, though, I mean, during that trip, did it seem you were going to sink in?
Well, actually, while we were going back, we never even looked outside because the skipper had one putting cleaning all the oil off the pipes and that in the rough weather passage, which was absolutely stupid. And we were up to the eyes with the oil fuel and that. I think he was just thinking of giving the crew something to occupy their mind, you know. That's what the idea was.
And which port were you went back to your home port?
Well, we went back to Harwich, but we had to finish up in Chatham, and there was another docks. The ship finished up. They paid the crew off at Chatham and kept the C&M party on, which I was one of them. And then we went to, what was it? East India Docks, I think it was.
What, at Chatham, East India Docks, Chatham?
Aye, and I think that's where the patched the boat up roughly and got the bodies and that out, you know.
Now, what were you, you said, what were you part of, which party?
C&M, what they call, it's C&M party, but it's Cairn Maintenance.
Cairn Maintenance.
Well, every naval ship does that. They keep so many people on crew on board, you know. It's a sort of a naval law, really.
And what did the care and maintenance party do? I was definitely going to guess, but what exactly were you doing?
You just had to be on the ship, that's all. Just on the ship, couldn't do nothing.
You were just living there. You weren't actually doing any work?
No. We had a big, you know, these bins that the watchmen used to use with the holes poked in, like the old oil drums with a coke. Well, we had one of them on the quarter deck. We used to do our cooking on there.
How long were you there for? Because
there quite a long time, really. I couldn't remember offhand. I went to some little rest camp after that, and then back to barracks. But the dates has got me. I cannot remember the dates for it.
Were you back to barracks before the end of the war?
The Japan War was still going on. German War was over. Germany.
So you were with the Care and Maintenance Party right up until the end of the European War?
Yeah.
Would you have rather had a more active role? I mean, it was safer in the Care and Maintenance Party, but would you have rather been sent to another ship?
Well, it wouldn't have bothered us either way. I mean, I didn't volunteer for anything. I just, you know, I was told to stay back. So it was about 12.
You were perfectly happy to do that?
No, I didn't bother.
You'd have been happy if you'd been sent to another ship?
Well, actually, the chap I'm telling you about, the senior radar operator, he got a draft ship out to the Far East when he left the ship. So I would have probably done that, and I'd probably done that with me as well. Because that war was still going on, you see.
So you went to, which barracks did you go to?
Devonport.
Were you demobilised from there? Or
you see, the ship is a Devonport ship. Everybody that was on that ship was a Devonport rating, you know.
That was your home port?
Aye. And then you got a Chatham ship or a Portsmouth ship, you know, Pompey.
And you went there around about August 45?
Where?
To Devonport.
Yeah.
That's when the war ended.
Aye, it would be around about that time.
And how long did you stay there for?
I wasn't in very long. I went to a big radar station in South Wales when I left the ship. I think I was only in barracks about a couple of days. We started on it was an officers' training place, you know. It was full of officers and wrens and that. And we were just there to operate the sets, that's all. But they found out I was a painter. And it was a paint shop in the camp, and I got the job of the paint shop. So I was doing all the signs for the camp and everything, you know.
Now, which camp was it?
It was, they call it RNADC Keat, Royal Naval Air Direction Centre or something. Keat, K-E-T-E.
K-E-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
And whereabouts is that a place in South
that
Wales?
That was South Wales, aye. The nearest town was Haverford West. The Swansea area, you know.
And how long were you there for?
I was there till I was demobbed.
In 46?
47.
So you're there about 2 years?
18 months or so. Aye, we will be.
So you basically just acted as a painted...
I got a good little number there. I didn't have to get dressed. I just shoved my overalls on in the morning and way up the paint shop, you know. Well, I did the petty officer's mess out. I did, the blokes painted it, and I did murals on the walls, you know, dancing girls and that thing. And my demob came up. I don't know whether want this down or not. My demob came up, and the bosun came in the mess deck, and he says, Boverley, he says, the commander wants to see you. Said, oh, hell, I hope I've turned out wrong. But anyway, I went to see him, and he asked us if I would postpone my demob. And there was no way I was going to do that. Like, well, what it was for, he wanted the wardroom done, so the way I've done the petty officers, you know. I forget what excuse I made, like, but I didn't stay, you know. Sometimes I wish I had, because I could have made a good career out in here, because I could have gone in with my trade, you see. Probably petty officer and that, and the finish. And,
but you were demobilised 47?
47, now.
What did you do when you got back? I mean, you've been in the Navy 4 or 5 years.
I was only in the Navy just over 3 years altogether.
What did you do when you got back? Did you go back to the council?
Aye, well, I had a long holiday to come. I forget how many weeks it was. I think it was about 16 weeks. I don't know how they totted it up. It mightn't have been that long. But anyway, I had quite a long holiday. And I took all of that, and then I went back to work.
South Shields Council,
yeah.
Painter and decorator.
Yeah.
Were you still doing your apprenticeship? Or
aye, well, you had to serve what they call black time.
What was that?
I was 21, but I was still an apprentice. You know, I would have been out my time at 21, normally. But I was still in the class as an apprentice. I think it went on for 2 years, that, as an apprentice. And because you have full apprenticeships 5 years, you see.
Now, had your experiences affected you in any way, do you think, you know, in the war?
Deafness.
What had caused that?
It's when the mine exploded. So I heard, I felt someone cracking me, you know. And I think the dock, what they call the dock on board, he was putting stuff in, like, and but I was affected with it all my life.
Did you get any compensation for it in later years?
I've got a small war pension, about £20 a week now. It's the lowest you can get anyway, you know.
Did it get any worse, or is it just stayed
steady? If I went and got more tests, I would get my pension uplifted.
It is getting worse.
Oh, it's getting worse, aye. But I'm not going to bother, Lee, because it's too much of a bloody clot. People say it's easy. I had to send to Great Scotland Yard for to get to give them all the proof for, you know, dates and everything for what happened, and they check up on it, you see. Great Scotland Yard, I didn't know there was a Great Scotland Yard.
Now, you're a member of a couple of associations. You're a Duffer. You've got a Duff association, haven't you?
Just a reunion.
Tell me about that. When did that start? How was that?
Well, it's this is from Norman Jones, right? He says, I am trying to locate ex-shipmates who served aboard HMS Duff during 43-45 with a possible reunion in mind. It will be 50 years in November since the ship was mined off the coast of Holland. And it would be nice if a get-together could be arranged around that time. Norman Jones, ex-stoker.
So that was 1994?
Yeah.
And you answered. And what does the HMS Duff Association do? I mean, what do you... It's just a reunion dinner, is it?
It's a big dinner, like, on the Saturday night's the dinner.
And how many attend?
Oh, it's getting lower all the time, because there's a few died since I've been going. So well, I missed the first one, and I think this next one will be about my seventh.
And how many used to attend and how many attend now?
I think there was about 15 or 16 when I went to the second one, because George Lowe had died. I know the fellow I'm talking about. I wanted to see him because he was a good mate on board the ship, you know. And with not going to the first one, I missed him because he had died in between times. But...
Did you recognise people?
No, well, you did. You twigged it after a while, but at first you couldn't. I couldn't do it yet.
Did they recognise you?
I don't know.
Sure. Were there many you knew there? I mean, you know, once you'd realised who they were. I mean, did you remember any of them?
Yeah, I can remember that Griffiths standing at the back. He died, and I remember that fellow in the end. He was an Oligan gunner. And the fella at the back and all. I can remember two or three of them. But there's a few if I'd passed them in the street, I wouldn't have known them, you know. I couldn't have had a clue who they were. Because you were all young lads.
Is it important to you, you know, keeping in touch now with
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Like, we'll have a good... on the Friday, we've got the run of the British Legion. They've opened their doors to us, you know, and go in and do what we want, like, and... But, have a good time. That's just from the Friday night to the Sunday morning. I'll come back home on Sunday morning. where I've got to get the train on, and nearly all come through in the cars, you see. It's easy for them.
Thank you very much.